I'm Dave Jackson. I'm the editorial writer here at Stockhouse Media. This podcast is part of our CEO interview series, and our mission going forward is to help investors and listeners understand more about investment opportunities in the public marketplace. Today, we're very excited to be joined by one of the Canadian business community's most respected and experienced names, Richard Carleton, Chief Executive Officer of the Canadian Securities Exchange, the CSE. Prior to his appointment, Richard served as Vice President of Corporate Development with responsibility for the CSE's technology operations, market data, and trading sales teams. Before joining the exchange, Richard worked as a business development consultant in Toronto and in New York in the risk management and index product fields after spending 12 years with the Toronto Stock Exchange, serving most recently as a member of the exchange's senior management team. Thank you very much for joining us today, Richard.
Pleasure to be here, Dave.
So it's been an exciting 2019 so far, and can you just sort of give us a little bit of a brief year in review, what's happening at the CSE and, you know, the exciting new initiatives the exchange is planning moving forward?
Well, we're obviously riding a tremendous wave that I guess began to build in 2017 originally. And we had a fabulous year in 2018. We had more than 120 companies list on the exchange, which was a record for us. But equally important was the amount of money that the issuer community raised through the facilities of the exchange. $5.2 billion in 2018 was raised. $4 billion of that was from the cannabis industry, about $1 billion from Canada, $3 billion from U.S. Issuers. And I think that was really the big story in the latter part of 2018 with a number of significantly sized U.S. multi-state operators who secured the growth capital they require and the liquidity they wanted to provide to their early stage investors by listing on the Canadian Securities Exchange. And so we ramped up the overall market capitalization of the exchange dramatically with these new companies that that joined the exchange over the course of last year. To the point, I think we're about $35 billion in market capitalization today. And again, a large portion of that growth is from the U.S. multi-state operators that joined the exchange. 2019, the trends have continued. We continue to be very active on the listing side. We will, I think, easily exceed the 123 odd listings that joined the exchange last year in 2019. Financing activity is a little bit lighter because there was obviously some choppiness in the broader equity markets, I think it's fair to say. Certainly a big sell-off in December, January. And then, of course, with all the trade concerns, we've seen a number of kind of exciting days, not necessarily in a good way, on the broader equity markets. And that certainly does tend to have a knock-on effect into the small cap space as well. But that said, we have, I think, on a trailing 12-month basis, the investment numbers are about $5.6 billion raised. So we're actually a little bit ahead of last year's pace. So it's, as I say, and certainly recently, we've seen a number of fairly significant transactions getting done. So, as I say, the markets continue to be active.
Blue skies ahead.
I hope so.
Very much so. Well, we're going to segue into some recent news, in fact, just over the last week in regard to the CSE's new blockchain-powered platform. And, you know, how do you see this new move as an industry game changer, Richard?
Yeah, this is really important. Really, the technology is the least important or at least, I guess, compelling part of the story. Yeah, it's blockchain and distributed ledger technology, and there are going to be smart wallets, and we'll be creating digital representations of cash, so there'll be kind of a cryptocurrency in the middle of this whole thing. But the reason that we're embarked on this this initiative is to provide another clearing and settlement organization for Canada, and to use the new technology to go to effectively real-time settlement of securities transactions. So in the conventional markets, it's trade date plus two before the cash and the securities change hands. A lot of people don't realize that there is that gap. And the gap actually costs a lot of money for the industry to support. Mm-hmm. Dealers have to post margin against the possible failure of the other side of the trade. The clearinghouse provides guarantees that the transaction will clear. Those have to be financed. Yeah. And, of course, having the kind of recourse financing that's in place adds a lot of cost and risk to the system. And, of course, the margin that the dealers are posting against open positions represents a significant mm-hmm. amount of dead capital that could and we think should be applied to more productive investment activities. But really what we're looking to do is to provide a regulated home for what we're calling tokenized securities. So again, we're not looking to list crypto assets or coins or what have you. These have to be securities that are issued by a reporting issuer in Canada.
Yes.
So they will be cleared by a prospectus and listed on the exchange and traded effectively as the other securities on the exchange are traded. But the difference is that they will be cleared and settled through this alternative system that we're looking to put together. Now, again, I know that by this point, everybody's eyes have glazed over about, talking about back office processes and all of this. But the reason that it's important is we're going to remove a lot of the friction that exists in the current system. Mm. So, for example, when a company pays a dividend, mm-hmm. the way it actually works is they pay their transfer agent. The transfer agent pays the clearinghouse. The clearinghouse pays the dealer, and then the dealer has to allocate that money to all of the individual client accounts that hold that particular security. It's a manual process. It's slow. And it's expensive because everybody takes a little slice at each step of the chain mm-hmm. there. Using blockchain, we can actually eliminate the friction between the company and the beneficial shareholder at the end of the chain. So what that does is it makes all kinds of income-based products viable in a public market setting. Yeah. So there are a lot of private equity deals that get done mm-hmm. that can't happen in a public setting because it would be way too expensive to administer the distribution of the cash or the royalty payments, what have you. So all the time, for example, say mid-sized mining companies looking to raise $150 or $200 million to do an open pit operation, let's say. They could issue more shares, but of course that's dilutive to the existing mm-hmm. shareholders and not necessarily the best outcome mm-hmm. for the existing shareholders. So, of course, what they typically do is they will enter into a royalty arrangement with a private equity partner who may be a large mining company like Barrick or a mining royalty company like Wheaton Precious Metals or a private equity outfit like Glencore Xstrata. But those guys drive a pretty tough bargain on that money. And the view is that if the companies were able to market that security to the public, they would be able to do so on better terms and conditions that they can get from a private equity partner, for example.
Right.
So it reduces their cost of capital, and it provides, again, a further outlet for them to raise capital to invest in projects. From an investor perspective, we think that this is going to help foster the creation of all sorts of new and attractive securities, mm-hmm. high-quality income-generating securities, which, of course, will have the benefit of, not just providing, as I say, a secured income stream, but you also have secondary market liquidity because it's listed on the exchange, right? So that you can buy and sell as you would buy and sell any other stock or security that's listed on the exchange. So we think there's a lot of potential in all sorts of different industries for companies to capitalize or at least monetize different portfolios of intellectual property or income streams that they have in the company and create a security that is very attractive for institutional and retail investors alike.
Do you think that this particular blockchain application may work as almost a demonstration for many of these companies, in fintech especially, that might have to look at this particular project and say, this is something that we might be able to implement and integrate into our operations at some point in time?
I think that's right. My suspicion is that the early adopters may surprise people, but the early adopters, I think, may be some of the more traditional industries. But certainly, again, you're right. The fintech folks who are very comfortable with this technology, I'm sure, will also be pioneers and innovators in the space as well. But again, the purpose of the exercise here for us is to facilitate the creation of this whole new kinds of securities, which obviously will be listed on the Canadian Securities Exchange.
Great segue into my next question. So if you can just briefly explain to our investor audience, you know, what exactly is a security token offering, or STO? This is a lot of new lingo to people out there, even those that have been playing in the crypto market for some time now.
Well, I'm far from a technology expert, so I will try to do the best of my ability here. But essentially, we're borrowing the technology that was developed to support the cryptocurrency market. And the smart contract is another way of describing the token. So what it is effectively the bundle of rights that you would have as a shareholder or somebody that holds a warrant or a debenture or something like that. All of those rights are in fact set out in computerized code that is in fact the token.
Yeah.
And that token is basically a means of exchanging value between the buyer and the seller. And using the distributed ledger technology, it is, as we know, the immutable record of that transaction. So what it replaces, of course, is either a paper share certificate or an electronic book-based entry at the clearinghouse, for example.
Yeah, I had an interview subject a little while ago who said that its complexity creates its the beauty of its simplicity, in that sense of being able to move transactions from point A to point B so seamlessly. And we've done a number of podcasts prior to this in that space, and it's quite amazing when you think about it, the applications available.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And that, as I say, it's not the technology that really turns my crank. It's providing that forum or that arena to unlock all of that creativity.
Exactly.
To design, as I say, new types of securities that will ultimately reduce the cost of capital for issuers and provide, as I say, new and compelling investment opportunities for investors.
Now, that's great news, Richard. Thank you. Now, moving on to the CSC's other important announcement recently, that being the BC Securities Commission joining the Ontario Securities Commission in overseeing the CSC. So what are the core benefits to investors in this particular arrangement?
Well, I don't know about the the benefit statement for the investors.
Security.
One of the issues, or I guess one of the factors in BC's decision, and this is something that's gone back for some years.
Yeah.
The majority of the Canadian Securities Exchange companies are BC domiciled. We've always had a very, very active relationship with the investment banking community in Vancouver, mm-hmm. in particular. And as you know, the home of a lot of small cap finance in Canada, BC has obviously been a very important market for us. And the BC Commission has been thinking about becoming one of our principal regulators for some period of time on that basis. That didn't seem to make sense to have Ontario as the sole lead regulator when, in fact, the majority of the securities were actually coming out of British Columbia. So we've always worked very closely and well with the BC Commission on local issues. And really, this is simply going to enhance the relationship that we have with the BC Commission, which, as I say, has always been a very positive and constructive one. And as I say, collectively, it will, provide a more formal mechanism for us to collectively work to promote fair and efficient markets and investor protection.
Great news. Thank you. Now, for small cap investors, which is primarily Stockhouse's audience here, and issuers in general, the CSC has seen record increases in trading volume over the past 12 months. Is the main engine driving this growth still cannabis listings?
That's certainly the headline.
It is.
But if you look below on the statistics. Of the new companies coming in, only about 35% are cannabis. So 65% are traditional small cap Canadian stores. Mining has had a significant rebound.
Yep.
We've seen probably one mining company a week join the exchange over the last, like in 2019. And then, of course, the usual collection of technology stocks, life sciences, and you know, other traditional Canadian small cap stories. We're certainly seeing a lot of interest in the e-gaming space at the moment. Yeah. And I think, like everybody, we're all wrestling with what the correct investment thesis is there.
Indeed.
We know it's big, it's popular, and growing, and there seems to be a lot of money being generated.
Heck, they want to put it in the Olympics.
They do. Now, of course, you know, when you said I was respected and experienced and all of that stuff, that's another polite way of saying that I'm old. So, you know, of course, I have in the e-gaming space just memories of course, you know, arguing with my children about the amount of time they were spending playing games instead of running around and playing outside or something. But in any event, it's of course, I'm also the, you know, the cannabis guy too, so we've all had our you know, make our compromises in life.
You look back 12 years ago, probably if you looked in your crystal ball, you weren't seeing those as two of your prime go-to.
No, we did not see, that coming. That was, yeah. That's a fair comment.
So finally, Richard, can you elaborate on some of the important upcoming CSE-sponsored events over the next few months, and especially here in Vancouver?
Well, we're going to be incredibly active on the conference circuit. My own travel schedule has been crazy this year so far, and doesn't look to be letting up anytime soon. I was in Israel the week before last, seeing a number of technology and cannabis companies. We have one Israeli cannabis issuer currently called Abacus, and we expect that they will be joined by another group of companies as a result of the work we've been doing over there. I will be traveling the United States fairly extensively. Not just to speak with cannabis issuers, but certainly if we happen to bump into a few along the way, that will be a happy circumstance. We're doing some events in Montreal around Formula One Week coming up.
That's interesting.
And which is, yeah, it's sort of not obvious, but it turns out that it is a real mecca for folks in the financial services industry. So it's a great opportunity for us to actually engage with a lot of people that we might not otherwise have had an opportunity to get together with. As far as Vancouver specifically, we've got Extraordinary Futures in the fall, which is a big event that we've been working on for the last couple of years.
Right.
And of course, we've always been active with the Cambridge House folks with their shows as well. So, yeah, we're here a lot, and we obviously have done very well with relationships that we've developed with the investment banking communities in British Columbia.
Well, I'm very excited for what the summer looks like for CSE, and Stockhouse Media would once again like to thank you, Richard, for taking the time out of your busy schedule and sharing a lot of great information about the CSA with our Stockhouse podcast listeners. Once again, for Stockhouse Media, I'm Dave Jackson, and we will talk to you and be podcasting for you very shortly.